Hi, my name is Grace Wong. I'd like to thank you for inviting me to be here today. I have no financial relationships with anything or anyone. I'm very pleased to be here to tell you a little bit about the study that I've conducted looking at the process of regaining insurance after a spell of uninsurance among young people with disabilities who are transitioning into adulthood. Okay, thanks. I'd like to thank my dissertation committee members, and in particular, I'd like to thank Drs. Grumbowski and Dr. Watts, co-authors of this paper. In 2002, the U.S. Census Bureau reported that 10% of youth, or 4.1 million youth, had a disability. And maintaining health insurance is important for young people with disabilities because persons with disabilities often rate their health as being fair or poor and frequently utilize medical care. So any disruptions in health insurance may result in disruptions to receiving needed medical care as well. However, many youth often lose health insurance coverage during transition ages, or kind of that 18 to 21 or maybe 25 age range. Between 2001 and 2004, Callahan and Cooper reported that over half of youth with disabilities and over half of youth without disabilities reported losing health insurance. Researchers and policymakers are beginning to understand this process of losing insurance among young people, and it's probably largely a result of aging out of coverage or aging out of parental insurance or becoming ineligible for public benefits. In addition to that, young people are not likely to have stable employment that offers health insurance within their workplace settings. It's really important to understand the process of losing insurance, but it really only tells half the story. It's really as important to also look at the process of regaining insurance, because evidence on regaining insurance helps to show whether an insurance loss or an episode of insurance loss is permanent. Otherwise, estimates of uninsurance may be overstated if regain is not taken into account. And I believe that it's really important to look at regain among youth with disabilities because of the context that eligibility for public benefits will differ according to disability status and according to age. And that youth with disabilities may also face barriers to gaining insurance through employers because of discrimination and because of work-related limitations. So for this study, I addressed three questions. First, do youth who regain insurance differ on personal characteristics compared to youth who do not regain insurance? What is the time to insurance regain among youth with and without disabilities who experience insurance loss? And third, what is the association between disability status and insurance regain? To answer these three questions, I'm using data from the Survey of Income and Program Participation 2001 data set. This is a longitudinal study conducted and administered by the U.S. Census Bureau. Participants are interviewed either in person or over the phone over a three-year time frame about income and program participation. There are some questions about disability. And for this study, I've included in the sample young people who entered into the SIP at baseline, and they were between the ages of 15 and 25 at baseline. They were also insured at baseline, but they subsequently lost insurance during the SIP follow-up period. They provided information for assessing disability status, and they also provided 3 full years of data. My outcome variable is uninsurance duration until insurance regain. And this is measured in waves. A wave is a measure of time that's equivalent to a 4-month interval. And my independent variable of interest is disability status. This is a categorical variable rated as no disability, non-severe disability, and severe disability. A non-severe disability is having a limited participation or having limited activities of daily living or being limited at work for at least 12 months. In contrast, having a severe disability would be being unable to or needing help to participate or perform activities or being unable to work for at least 12 months. I also include in the study a variety of personal characteristics. Some of them are time invariant, such as gender, race, and Hispanic ethnicity. And some are time varying, such as age, school and work status, poverty, and education level. I use Kaplan-Meier survival functions to estimate duration of uninsurance and a discrete time survival analysis to show associations between disability status and insurance regain. And so this table shows that the study included a little over 1,300 young people, and these were young people who entered into the SIP. They were 15 to 25, and they entered with insurance and subsequently lost insurance over a three-year time frame. This table shows the characteristics of the study sample, the personal characteristics, and it's divided on the left-hand column as not having regained health insurance, and on the right hand, having regained health insurance during the SIP follow-up period. And I'll note that young people who regained health insurance were more likely to be without disability and to be working or in school full-time, but that there weren't too many differences in terms of gender, race, ethnicity, poverty, or education status. This figure shows the uninsurance trends over time by disability status. So on the x-axis is time measured in waves, and again, a wave is a four-month interval. And on the y-axis is proportion of the sample. So this shows that everybody started in the study without insurance, but by wave two, half of young people without disabilities and half of young people with severe disabilities had regained their health insurance. However, it took three waves for half of young people with non-severe disabilities to get insurance back. This table shows associations between disability status and insurance regain. So we see here that young people with severe disabilities had very similar odds of getting insurance back compared to peers without disabilities. In contrast, young people with non-severe disabilities were at lower odds of getting insurance back compared to their peers without disabilities. And this is controlling for race, ethnicity, gender, school and work status, poverty, age, and education. This table also shows that the odds of getting insurance back increase into wave two and peak there and then decrease over time. So I'd like to discuss each of these results separately, one after. So youth with severe disabilities and youth without disabilities have very similar durations of uninsurance and odds of insurance regain. And one explanation for this is possibly that youth with severe disabilities are simply eligible for public benefits such as Medicaid. They are qualifying for this benefit program. Youth with severe disabilities may also be eligible for programs such as supported employment and transition services. In contrast, youth with non-severe disabilities are remaining uninsured longer and have a lower odds of getting insurance back. And so a few possible reasons why we may have observed these results are that youth with non-severe disabilities may be ineligible for public programs, may be ineligible for Medicaid or public benefits. They may face challenges with transitioning into post-secondary independence and work, where youth without disabilities would possibly be getting their health insurance benefits. And they may also be encountering workplaces that demonstrate reluctance in hiring, retaining, and promoting persons with disabilities. We also find that the median duration of uninsurance differs according to disability status. The median duration is 5 to 8 months for youth with severe disabilities, and it's 9 to 12 months for youth with non-severe disabilities. So the consequences of remaining uninsured for this period of time include reduced access to a usual source of care, delayed care, unmet medical or prescription drug needs, and a lower likelihood of visiting a healthcare provider. An important finding is that 75% of youth with non-severe and severe disabilities experience more than 1 to 4 months of uninsurance. And I think this is important to note because when uninsurance exceeds 63 days, youth may be subject to pre-existing condition clauses in their health plans. So in other words, even after a youth is able to get health coverage back, they may not be receiving coverage for services that are related to a pre-existing condition. For both youth with and without disabilities, the odds of regaining insurance increase through wave two and then decrease through wave six. So in other words, once a person loses insurance and the longer they spend in a state of uninsurance, it's harder for them to get insurance back. And so I think it's important to be able to support youth then by alerting youth to different sources of health insurance and then re-enrolling youth quickly once they lose or if they lose insurance. So given our finding that young people with non-severe disabilities spend longer periods of time in uninsurance and are at lower odds of getting insurance back, I'd like to examine five different strategies briefly to improve coverage among youth. And these are strategies that many researchers and policymakers are considering for youth generally. First, there's the option of providing tax credits for purchasing coverage in non-group markets. This option has its limitations for youth and families who have an extensive history of medical care, because that extensive history may make purchasing coverage in non-group markets unaffordable. Second option is requiring employers to allow parents to cover children up to age 26. I also feel that this has its limitations, because this really may just be postponing the aging out of coverage process from 18 to 26. And then the third option is requiring insurance coverage for college students. Again, this has its limitations if youth are not college bound. And then mandating that all young adults obtain coverage is really contingent on the idea that there is insurance coverage available for young adults. And so I think really the fifth option may be the best, which is allowing Medicaid or CHIP to cover more young adults. And so this might be through programs such as Medicaid buy-in. I'd like to briefly discuss some of the limitations of this study. First, we use a single disability measure that measures disability as a static characteristic over time. And so I think in the future, it'll be really interesting to be able to look at how changes in disability also affect changes in health insurance status. We're examining only the first episode of uninsurance, and so we really can't make any inferences about subsequent losses, so if a person is churning or coming in and out of insurance. This is an unweighted analysis, and so it may not be generalizable to the U.S. population. And we also use this time scale of a wave, and a wave may not be the most intuitive measure of time. So in conclusion, youth with severe disabilities and youth without disabilities have very similar odds of regaining insurance over time and have similar durations of uninsurance. And this is a finding to be contrasted that with the finding that youth with non-severe disability have lower odds of getting insurance back, and they experience longer durations of uninsurance compared to youth without disabilities. Third, time spent without insurance is likely to decrease access to timely care and to place youth at risk for pre-existing condition clauses. And our finding that the odds of regaining insurance peak and then decline suggests the importance of acting quickly to re-enroll youth into coverage. Thank you.